listening to Inner City Geeks Turntable with Steve and Charlie.
Welcome to Inner City Geeks Turntable, episode number 2. And I'm Steve.
I'm Charlie.
And we got Charlie. And this is the podcast that we talk about music and how we love these motherfucking songs that we're about to play.
And talk about.
Yes. And this week, it's Charlie's turn.
So this should be interesting.
Yes, it should be fucking interesting. Because honestly, like, I don't really know much about this band.
Well, so let me just start off by saying the song I picked is from a band called Sponge. And it's their most well-known song called Plowed.
Okay.
Sponge is an American band from Detroit, formed in 91.
Okay.
Okay, signed to Sony Records in 94, which this song came out from their first major release album in 94 called Rotting Piñata.
Interesting.
Again, they had lots of more albums after the fact, but Plowed is their more well-known radio-played song.
It was like their one hit.
There you go. I don't want to call them a one-hit wonder because they did have a second hit on the album called Molly 16 Candles, but Plowed is the more well-known, more well-played song on the album. So again, Sponge coming from Detroit, Michigan, couple of different band members. I'm not going to get into it because it's after 20 some odd years, they ran the gamut on band members.
Of course.
The more interesting story, again, the name of the album that this was on, their first record release, released in August of 94, was called Rotting Piñata. Now, the name of the title of the album has a very dark connotation, and I just literally found this out when I was researching the song with you. Mm-hmm. The name of the album comes from a conversation the band had with punk rocker G.G. Allin.
Interesting.
Allin claimed that when he would commit suicide on tour, he wanted his corpse to be shown at the remainder of the shows.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then he wanted his fans to be able to throw objects at his body. The band joked that if he did, the corpse would be like a rotting piñata.
Yeah, that's pretty dark.
That's kind of effed up.
That's like super punk right there.
Yes. So the reason why I picked this song, I love this song. I love the song starts off with a great guitar melody. It's heavy. Yes. It's hard for the time it was.
The beginning of the song has a really, really, really good riff.
And it's one of my favorite riffs to this day. Let me just get to the first lyric real quick. When I wake up, is this some dream I made up? No, I guess it's reality. What will change us or will we mess up? Our only chance to connect with a dream.
Interesting, okay.
It's very deep, it's very dark for early 90s alternative scene. You know, they're battling with bands like Stone Temple Pilots and Metallica and Pearl Jam.
So would they be considered like one of the stepkids of grunge? Because that was around the grunge area and around the grunge time that, you know, it all started.
I wouldn't call them grunge. They were more like alternative.
Okay.
They weren't with the Soundgarden and Nirvana. Because
from what I heard, they also sounded very punky at the same time.
They did have a punk vibe to them. A lot of this is the more heavier song on the album. A lot of the songs are more melodic punk.
Okay.
If there is such a thing.
There is a thing. That is a thing, yeah.
I never owned the album till about a year ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I built, again, for me, it was Plowed and that was it. I had no need for the album.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, again, they had a second single, Molly 16 Candles. It's catchy. It's great. Not for me.
Right. Yeah.
But on a whim, I said, screw it. I went on iTunes. I know you, how you feel about iTunes. I'm not going to get into it. I'm an Apple guy. So I downloaded the album. And yeah, this is the most heaviest song on the album.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I want to call them, you know, grunge. They're not as gritty.
Right.
This is for one song. It's not. I wouldn't put them in that jar, that square.
Okay. You wouldn't put them in that box.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. Fucking Christ, my brain is
fried. That's why I was last episode.
There you go.
It's only fair. It's the ball's in your court this time.
Yeah. No. It's a great song. Very powerful. It's like a workout song for me, just because of the riff it has and the power it has. Mm-hmm. Let me just go through some of the band members real quick who the main credit is. Songwriters for Mike Cross is the lead singer, Tim Cross, his brother, Mark Trombonsky, Joey Mazzola, and Jerry Paluzzi.
Nice.
So it was a 5-member band back in the day. I think they're down to like 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as of right now, the only really big members of the bands are Vinny. And that's pretty much
they're still doing music now.
Yeah, they kind of got a resurgence now, especially in New York. It's weird. Again, New York doesn't have a big rock radio influence.
Right.
If you want to go out to Long Island, there is a rock station in Long Island. And again, I mentioned this in the last episode. They play like 90s to early 2000s rock.
Mm-hmm.
There is a DJ on that radio station who loves Funch, who's actually friends with the band and plays his song like repeatedly on his show.
Oh, but of course. It's only right to play your friends' music.
And they are actually still touring to this day. They actually, I think they had an album that came out recently. Back in, well, not recently, it was called in 2016.
Gotcha.
So that was the 8th album. So they have had, you know, 7 other albums after this, but nothing as great as Rotting Pinata, when it came out, it was certified gold.
Really? That's not bad.
And it broke number 4 on the Billboard chart.
Yeah.
And mainly it's because of that one song. That one song gained so much popularity during the time.
Yeah. Interesting.
And it's just, and the funny thing was, even though we had K-Rock back in the day in New York, that was the main rock station, the first time I heard this song was Elvis Duran playing it on the Z100.
Wow, that is very interesting, because
that's... The Z100 used to play a lot of alternative type
music. Right, because at that point, it wasn't just a top 40.
Exactly, he played everything. So I remember, you know, in high school, sitting on a 7 train, going to a fun when it was the first time listening to this song. And me growing up as somebody who, you know, music was sort of banned, for lack of a better term.
Right.
To hear something with such powerful guitars and such a powerful riff and such a powerful voice was like eye-opening for me.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a gateway for other bands. It's like a gateway to the Pearl Jam, to the... Soundgardens, right. To you know, all these other types of bands.
Yeah, just like what I said last week when I said that I listened to like Korn and the Biscuit first, and then that slowly got me into like the heavier shit.
Yeah,
those were my gateway bands at that time.
Yeah. And again, you know, to go into deeper to the lyrics, say a prayer for me. I'm buried by the sound in the world of human wreckage. I'm lost and I'm found, and I couldn't touch the ground. I'm plowed into the sound.
Yeah, I can dig that for sure.
You know, and the world, it still holds true today. If the lyrics hold true today, and it still means something to me today, because take a look at what's going on in society and in the world, and I don't want to get into it, the fucking politics of the world today. There's a lot of fucking BS, and you know, to cut through all the noise and to find truth in things and to find your way, it's hard. You get buried. You're literally getting attacked, buried and beaten upside the head with all this negativity in the world. And it's hard to find your way out.
Absolutely.
Really, and that's what that's what this song means to me. You know, it's just you need to find a space, you need to find a way out.
I dig it. I would like it.
You know, for a 90s song, you know, again, this band's not as popular, but I feel like there were some more influences in this band.
I was just about to say that for a 90s song that wasn't as like widely received.
Yes.
This is actually a really good song.
Yeah. Again, I mean, it's the band is really good. You know, the album was really great, but they just had this one standout song. Out of the, again, I think I said they had 7 albums.
Wow.
They put out. The only 2 have charted.
Oh, shit. So a lot of their stuff is more like indie stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, the first album, the label was under Sony, but it was under this label called The Work Group, which is a part of Sony.
Okay.
It hit the chart. It was peaked at number 4. Ended at 58. Wax Ecstatic Never Got Love That High, which is their second album. It peaked at number 60.
Oh, wow.
And that was on the Columbia label.
Shit. Okay.
Every other album they had, from 1999's New Pop Sunday, 2003 For All the Drugs in the World, 2005 The Man, 2007 Galore Galore, 2013 Stop the Bleeding, and 2016's The Beer Sessions, nothing charted.
Wow. Could it be because like people lost interest in the band, or just because like a lot of their music just didn't really hit the plate?
I'm going to put it in my perspective. When you listen to a song like Plowed, and then hear everything else, like Molly 16 Candles, it's not the same. It's not the same vibe.
Okay.
It's really weird. It was like, how do I put it to you? It's like listening to, like a heavy, fast metallic album like Fuel or, let's just say for Fuel, for all intents and purposes, that's the only song in my head right now. Something hard and fast and driven and powerful like Fuel or Saint Anger, you know? And then listening to something like the rest of the album has like something like The Unforgiven on it.
Okay.
You know, Nothing Else Matters.
That'll definitely do it.
You know, you're looking for that, okay, this is his new band, and they're fast and they're hard and they're great and they got this ferocity to them, and everything else is just
the opposite. I guess it's like, I'm just going to go that way.
Yeah, and it feels that song just feels totally disconnected to the rest of the album. I think. Hold on, I'm trying to find out my I'm sorry, my computer is seizing on me. So the album had literally 11 tracks on it. Wild was in the middle at number 6.
Okay.
So if I remember, so what I'm thinking, that if it was on tape back in the day, because I think tape before CD in the early 90s, so songs 1 through 5 was side A, song 6 through 11 was side B, I'm assuming.
Right.
So when you flipped it over to side B, all of a sudden you got this fast, hard stuff that really didn't connect to the first 5 songs of the album. The last 5 songs of the album.
It was that one song.
Yeah.
When they were like, yeah, let's make a radio hit. Let's make something that's going to fucking
kick. That could have been it. You know, you hear stories about a lot of bands and a lot of musicians going into the recording studio say, oh, I got all these songs. Yeah, but they're not radio friendly.
Yeah.
And we need something. I think this was their something.
Or maybe it's kind of like the other way around. Like they have that one radio friendly song,
yeah,
and then everything else is like it's good, but we really don't want to hear that on the radio because it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, again, they did have a second single on the album called "Molly 16 Candles," and it's the opposite of how heavy, how great this song is. Like I said earlier, I never had or owned the album or the tape till about a year or two ago, just because I only wanted this one song. I only needed this one song.
So that's that band would have probably Sponge would have actually done good in like the times like today, when you know you just have like one good song, so you can just listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah, pretty much it.
Because even back then, like I don't even think they had a single for it.
I'm not sure they did. I just think it was a radio single. I don't think it was actually a cassette single or a studio single. Single, as you say. But, you know, it's a great song still. I think whoever, you know, listen to it, jam. I think it's a good jam out song. It's a good workout song, a good pump up song. Something to get your ass out of bed and
it's a pretty dope song. I kind of like after listening to it, after you said it to me, I was like, okay, I can dig it.
Yep,
I can definitely dig it.
Yeah, so that's the reason why I picked this song. This is my first choice for episode 2.
Oh yeah, I can definitely dig it. Sponges Plowed.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so like I said, go. Well, not like I said. Go to innercitygeeks.com, where we have a bunch of shit sometimes. So, of course, we have Inner City Geeks podcast. We have this show. We also have Good Games. We have Yay Toys, Manga Times, Anime World.
You mentioned The Big Show.
The Big Show?
The Main Show.
I did say The Main Show.
No. Yeah. I'm not listening to you sometimes.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Comic Con Sabor, a bunch of other shit that we have on the site. We also have links to our sponsors. So we have a So Sick Clothing Company, Beard Octane, as well as Amazon. So we have offer codes for all that shit. Make sure you just go to the site and you can find it. It's there. It's all there. It's all there. You can listen to the show on
Stitcher.
Yes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Spotify and Google Play Music.
Fuck iTunes.
Yes. Fuck iTunes. Yeah. So you can listen to us on there. You can find us on the Facey Space at Inner City Geeks, on the Instagram at Inner City Geeks, on the Twitters at Inner City Geeks. You can find Charlie.
You find me on Twitter at RUPERTO2106.
Yeah, so you can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Drackle, MisterJackal. And that pretty much sums it up for today. So
that's episode 2, people.
Yes, that is episode 2. I'm going to say my goodbye now. And Charlie, you introduce this motherfucking song.
So everybody, again, this is Sponge from the 2014 hit, Bonnie Pinata. This is Sponge.